WISR now presents It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey. Dave is off today, so we have a special guest host. It's Your Turn is Butler County's only live call-in talk show. You can join in the conversation by calling 724-283-2525. And now, let's join It's Your Turn and today's special guest host.
I always enjoy being called a special guest host. It makes me feel very, very warm and welcoming. A pleasant Friday afternoon to you. Great to have you aboard on It's Your Turn. I am Tyler Friel. I'm in for Dave Malarkey today. Dave will be back on Monday, so rest assured, it's just a small vacation for Dave. Anyways, we've got a packed show for you today. We are going to start with open talk, so if you would like to get in on the conversation, you have something that you would just like to chat about, feel free to give me a call, 724-283-2525 is the number there. Anything that's on your mind, be happy to talk about it. We do have a list of guests as well. Amy Mack, the Director of Tourism Development from the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, will stop by. We will chat with her about the number of things that are going on around Butler County. Of course, right now, we have the Butler Farm Show underway. I was out there on Monday and kind of got a lay of the land. Originally, and still am, a Meridian kid myself, I was always at the Butler Farm Show, and so it was actually nice because I didn't go last year. Well, I take that back. I was out there real quick, but I didn't have a chance to walk around the grounds. I was out there doing an event with our sister station, WBUT. On Monday, I was able to finally get out and scan the ground, scope it out. What does it look like? What's all entailed this year? And it brought back some memories of old, no question about it, all the fancy games you could play, all the rides, and more importantly, and most importantly to me, all the food that you could have. And I was able to finally dive into some delicious fried delights, and I would say my Monday was off to a good start, and that started the week out on a good foot. So if you haven't been out there yet, of course, Tracy was talking about in the noon news all the events that they have going on today. You've got the big demolition derby going on. I've never done the demolition derby. I've always heard it. I would always be walking around either the farm show itself or the streets of Meridian and hear these cars colliding, the tractor pull as well. That's, I believe, already happened. So a number of events going on at the farm show. I think there's a country concert going on, some sort of giant Sunday. There's a plenty of things to check out at the Butler Farm Show, so if you're stopping out, enjoy it. It looks like we could have a chance of showers, but I think you would be fine. Maybe just tag an umbrella along with you as you hit the Butler Farm Show. So that's all going on. We'll chat with Amy Mack about not only that, a number of different things that they have going on at the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. I was scanning through their website just trying to get an idea of what they have coming up, and I couldn't even take it all in. So we'll have plenty to talk about with Amy. We'll also talk with Steelers play-by-play man Bill Hillgrove, the longtime voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, actually. And I believe he took over in 1994. So I know no other voice in my lifetime of radio. The radio voice of the Steelers has always been Bill Hillgrove to me. Of course, Jack Fleming was there for many years before that. There's very rarely turnover for the Steelers in that position, just like they have with their head coaches. They always keep the same head coach, and they always keep the same broadcasters. And Bill Hillgrove, always a delight to talk to, and we'll have a chance to talk with him. Of course, the Steelers getting underway tonight as they have preseason football underway. I can't believe that the preseason is actually already here. It's quite stunning. I was looking at the calendar, and then boom, all of a sudden there's a football game on tap. So we'll talk with Bill Hillgrove about tonight's game, as well as what's entailed for the preseason, what all is going on in Steelers world right now. And then also, we'll wrap up the show with Jason Mackey. He's a writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and maybe people who know me well know I'm a big fan of sports, but to me, the story transcends sports a little bit because you get to peel back the onion and look at the layer of people. Sometimes I think we forget, not only as people who talk about sports, but as people who watch it. And granted, these guys get paid a lot of money. But Matt Murray was the goaltender for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He essentially took over for Marc-Andre Fleury. He was a starter for most of the year. Matt Murray goes down with an injury in game one of the playoffs before they even, right as they take the ice in pregame warmups, he goes down. Marc-Andre Fleury comes into the game. Marc-Andre Fleury has been the longtime goaltender for the Pittsburgh Penguins. 99% of this fan base loves him. He has such an engaging personality, and a lot of people were pulling for him. It was a great story. Then Marc-Andre Fleury had a bad game. In step Matt Murray yet again. Matt Murray leads the Penguins to another Stanley Cup title and is the only rookie in NHL history to win two Stanley Cups in his rookie year. You may be asking how that's possible. Well, apparently last year he didn't play enough to qualify to become a rookie or make this past year his second season. And they won the Stanley Cup in 2015, or I guess 2016, and now they've won it in 2017. And so Matt Murray, who has been relatively quiet, had a chance to talk with Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And if you had a chance to read his works, it's quite engaging, quite intriguing. And so we had a chance to talk with him earlier today. We'll play that interview at the end of the day. So we'll have all that coming up for you on It's Your Turn today. But we head out to the phone lines as it is Open Talk. 724-283-2525 is the number. Hello, caller. Welcome to the program.
Morning. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Actually, it's afternoon, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
going right along.
For waking me up. Hey, this is just kind of a response to an earlier news article.
Okay.
The automobile accident, which appears to have been caused by someone who had been smoking marijuana.
Yes. I believe that was the Mercer County accident.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm referring to.
Okay.
I'm reading the back of a magazine. There's some faces here. And I'm not going to share the name of the magazine. It's a men's magazine.
Okay.
But there are faces and there are names. I'm just going to read the names that I know here.
Okay.
John Belushi.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Farley. Whitney Houston. Janis Joplin. The name sounds familiar. I don't know.
Rock and roll singer from the 70s.
Could have been. Jim Morrison. Richard Pryor. Amy Winehouse. And I'm going to ask you, because it says at the bottom what they all have in common. What do you think they all had in common?
I believe they all died from drug overdoses, if I'm correct.
Well, that could be. It doesn't state that. All it says
Oh, wait, wait. Hold on. Is this the 27 thing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I'm just spitballing here. Go ahead.
No, it just says they all smoked marijuana at one time in their lives.
Yeah, coming personally from this commentator who's never smoked marijuana, you know, you get these two camps, the ones who talk about it medicinally, the ones who talk about it recreationally. I just honestly, caller, do not know enough on the subject to have an educated opinion.
Myself either, but I'm guessing these people were all recreational users.
I would assume so.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, thanks for letting me share that with you.
No problem. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, and there is something about a 27 club, I believe, and I don't know if they all fall under that same type of, like Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, I think, they all died at 27. I thought maybe that's where he was going, but I guess it didn't really tie into the premise of the call. And yeah, we did have a story earlier today about an accident that ended up being a crash, a fatal accident. In Mercer County, police were able to find marijuana, drug paraphernalia in the car, and it killed a 19-year-old kid. The dangers of drugs, I think, are well known. And as I said, I'm not entirely... I hate speaking on it because I'm not that educated on it where I feel like I have an entitled opinion. So that's where I'm at with that right now. But we've got some more callers on the line. Hello, caller. Welcome to It's Your Turn. Go right ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. I just wanted to bring up that, you know, that guy was saying about Joplin and all those people.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them did overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And most people start out with their marijuana, so I can't see where this is such a great thing, this recreational marijuana. I mean, it's a type of drug, you know, and I have smoked marijuana myself when I was a young man, and I guarantee you, I only smoked it twice, and that was the last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can affect your mind.
Yeah, there's the argument of the gateway drug. At least, you know, that was one thing that was pounded into our heads as a high school student. You know, marijuana is a gateway drug. Whether you believe that or not, I tend to side with that argument just because it could open up other doors that if you weren't introduced to it in the first place, especially as a youngster, that could lead you down roads maybe you don't want to go.
I guarantee you. Once they approve this, and this is just common sense, once they approve this marijuana, which they are, to make more money, that there's going to be more accidents involved with marijuana, more different tragic accidents in their own home, because it is a stepping drug, you know, going up.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe there's probably very, very few that could use it to help them health-wise. And the ones that know enough about it, what I'm talking about in the industry,
mm-hmm.
know to play the sick. And that makes people feel bad if they say no about it, you
yeah.
know, to introduce it and allow it and legalize it.
And I do agree that the tides are turning for that argument. I do think it will be legalized eventually across all 50 states.
So do I.
When in Pennsylvania, that I do not know. I think it will be sooner rather than later.
I thought they already legalized.
I think medicinal marijuana is legalized, but I don't think you're able to smoke it.
I see where you're coming from, but
mm-hmm.
let's be up straight here. It's just supposed to be from doctors. How many doctors' offices? These people are going to come in. I mean, how many people older? I'm older.
Mm-hmm.
Have bad backs, bad hips, bad legs, everything else. So the doctor will say, oh, okay. There's not too many doctors that's going to turn people down if they're patient. They're going to lose money off of them. Plus, the patient could possibly sue the doctor, you know, for refusing mm-hmm. to help them. And I just think it's totally going down the wrong path. I know a lot of people that's been in wrecks on and off, and you see in the paper all the time, they found marijuana on them. They were, you know, driving crazy and everything else. And I can tell you from experience, just from smoking it twice in my life,
mm-hmm.
that I remember, you probably don't remember this car. It's a little Vega, Chevy Vega, little junk thing. You know, they were cute, but they
mm-hmm.
were, when I say junk, they were made junk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember steering one of them, coming from this town I know of, and I just got out on the high, made the turn. And I was awake, and I end up waking up from my house, but I'm telling you, I shouldn't have been on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm being honest and straight with people, you know, and I hear all this stuff. I'd love to be on a debate with these people and say it's so great and so helpful. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a few of the rich that want to sell it, you know. And, you know, at one time they thought cocaine was going to be good for people.
I'm fairly certain they were putting it in Coca-Cola back in, like, the 1910s.
They were. They were, exactly. Honest to God, they were. That's true. But you can't tell people nothing, you know. It's just the few seem to control the majority anymore on a lot of things, you know, because they make, like they say, the one that squeaks the most and gets the oil is going to get it passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hopeful if... You know, Pennsylvania's in bad shape financially.
Horrible shape, yeah.
A terrible shape. Now they're talking about putting more tax on your natural gas and your electricity in your house. Almost everything runs off electricity if it doesn't run off of gas.
Yes.
So that's going to hit the common mass just trying to make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to hit the drugger. That's not going to hit the guy that, you know what I mean, that started all these problems. You know, it's going to hit the average person. If they want to put this tax on it, put tax on marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Put more tax on cigarettes. I don't care what these cigarette people say. Put more tax on it. Put more tax on marijuana and legalize online gambling. If you know, you got to click and, you know, and give them warnings. And if you do it, let them pay the tax for that dumb.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you, caller.
But that's just my comment. I'm just tired of hearing the opposite. You know, how great it is and how it's going to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that, as far as I'm concerned, bull. A lot of those are losers, and they'll always be losers.
Well, I appreciate your call. We have someone on the other line. Thanks again.
I'm so negative.
No. Don't worry about it. I appreciate you coming in and giving your opinion.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Yeah, so I this is a position that a lot of people have very hard opinions on, and we saw that from the last caller. We've got a caller on the line right now. Hello. Welcome to It's Your Turn.
Hey, Mr. Friel. Hey, you know, this thing about marijuana being a gateway drug, I'd have to say alcohol would be the gateway drug of like 99% of the people in America.
I don't disagree with that either. We can't even report on the number of DUIs we get around here just because of the number of them. And the last caller talking about driving under the influence of marijuana, that's a thing. And there's a lot of people who drive under the influence of alcohol as well.
Well, the other thing, too, I read someplace that something like 20% of the people that drink consume 60% of the alcohol. So if you had legalized pot, yeah, some people would abuse it, but I think most people were fine with it. The other thing I'd like to make is states that have already legalized marijuana,
mm-hmm.
their opioid use is down. So people, instead of using, like, opioids for pain or smoking pot. So, I mean, there's benefits, there's, you know, disadvantages. It's all up to the individual. You know, I don't think people are going to, like, smoke a joint and jump in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke a joint and watch TV.
I think there is a responsibility aspect to this is really the main thing. And I think that's with a lot of the risky activities that we engage in. You know, I buy lottery tickets. I drink alcohol. Those are risky activities. If you can manage it, then you're okay. And maybe marijuana falls into that category. And like I said at the top of the show, I'm not educated enough on this subject to really give a hard opinion either way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look at, okay, you're saying lottery tickets. Yeah, a lot of people buy lottery tickets. Some people lose their houses gambling.
Yeah.
Some people embezzle to pay gambling debt. So, yeah, there's different extremes to every behavior, but most people do handle things well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right, good talk to you, Tyler.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
All right, bye.
Bye. And we'll just continue rolling on with the phone lines. Oh, maybe we won't. Let's try this one. Hello, caller. Welcome to It's Your Turn.
Oh, good morning. Good afternoon. The previous caller just did make a very good point, and that's pretty much where I was going with this as far as gateways. And also the physicians have to take a certain amount of responsibility with this gateway situation. They're the ones who get people caught up in opioids because of pain, and they prescribe too much medication for too long, and then people become addicted, and then they take it off them. So there's another side to this as well. But the reason for my call is about the accident on Greenwood Drive.
Okay.
In 420. This is an ongoing issue. This intersection is deadly. It's low visibility, high speed downhill, and it needs to be corrected. And the thought I had was, could we make that portion of Greenwood one way off 422 only? If you want to come on to 422, go up the other end of Greenwood and jump on 422 at the safe intersection at the lights.
I couldn't agree more. I go up that road quite a bit because that's on my side of town. If they even did not make it a one-way, if you made it a two-way, if you're coming up Greenwood and getting onto 422, that turning left there is an absolute nightmare that should be completely illegal. It is extremely dangerous, and you're right, low visibility and high speed. People come flying. It's a highway. People come flying over that hill, and people are trying to either zoom out to go left or try to pick up the pace and head right.
Right, and it's almost impossible during many times a day to get across. Let's say you want to go west.
Mm-hmm.
On 422. It's nearly impossible to safely do that because, as I said, low visibility and cars coming over that hill at a pretty good speed. And it just seems like that's a very short neck of road that could easily be made one way going east. In other words, you can jump off and go, but you cannot pull out onto 422. Even a right-hand turn off of that is dangerous because cars and trucks get a green light up at Mount Chestnut, and off they go. And many of them don't even know Greenwood Road is there to be aware of people pulling back there.
And then even you have a case with the farm show going on this week, so you have some people from out of town, they don't know any better, and their GPS says, go this way, and then all of us, that happened to me, I believe, Tuesday. I was sitting at the intersection, there was a car with a trailer on the back that probably had a horse in it, and they were trying to go west onto 422 from Greenwood Drive, and they, first of all, you're right, backed up traffic at a ridiculous pace, and then they had to wait there for 10 minutes to try to safely pull out, and they still had to buzz out.
Right, right. And one false move, and there's a colossal accident. There's been too many.
Mm-hmm.
And PennDOT is doing nothing, as far as I can tell, nothing to correct it. And I don't know if one way is the answer or not, but there's got to be a solution to save lives and property damage at that intersection. This is enough.
Yeah, the one thing that I would say, and you talk about using the merge points on 422 down at whatever the Moraine Point entrance would be, it may take you an extra 2 minutes, but it's well worth it just because it is 10 times safer.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, thank you for your call. I do appreciate that, and that did cross my mind whenever we had that story earlier this morning.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Have a good day. Yeah, that's one that, well, whenever I was first starting to drive, that was when the parents said, don't do that. Either go to Fort, the Moraine Point one, merge on, or even Eagle Mill, if you're on that side of town, you can roll through there. And I've thought about this quite a bit because I've been traveling that road quite a bit. So, yeah, that caller did make a very good point. I do think that something will have to be done. I've thought of a traffic light there, but that may just be too of a dangerous place to put a traffic light, if that makes any sense, because people aren't accustomed to it, so that could create some problems. I think there needs to be something addressed with that intersection just because it is quite dangerous. So thanks for the calls. Again, we've got about 10 minutes left of open talk, so if you do want to get a call in, 724-283-2525 is the number there. We've been talking about the legalization of marijuana, kind of inorganically. We've kind of stumbled upon it, but I do, you know, we were talking with a caller earlier. I do think it will be passed sooner rather than later. I know they've done it medicinally, but again, recreationally is the one that's hanging out there. But we're going back to the phones. Hello, caller. Welcome to It's Your Turn.
Let's go Blue Sox.
All right, I agree. Are you going to the game Saturday?
I'll be there. I'm one of the season ticket holders.
That's fantastic. Yes, this is the first Prospect League Championship appearance. They are now one game away from taking home the title.
Unbelievable.
It really is. And for the effort that these kids have put on, and there's a lot of local kids here. Tomorrow, a not graduate, Alex Stobert, will be getting the start.
Yeah, hopefully we put them away early and don't even let them think about winning.
They did that yesterday. They went up 12-0 in the first two innings.
No, that was pretty good.
That's a pretty good ball game. That's a good way to start out the championship. Well, caller, yeah. Enjoy the game. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Bye. Yeah, the Butler Blue Sox, first time in franchise history. Have they been around 9 or 10 years? I think this is their ninth year. Yeah, ninth year that they have been in the Prospect League, and it has finally come to fruition. It didn't look like that would be the case at the start of the season. They got out to a bit of a rocky start. But Cody Harreld, you have to give your hats off to him, the first-year manager for the Butler Blue Sox. Obviously, the Butler graduate knows the game extremely well. Was at Seton Hill, where he batted well over 300 over the course of his career. Thought he should have gotten drafted by at least some team in Major League Baseball. That did not turn out to be the case. He helped as an assistant coach in previous years with the Blue Sox. And I was talking with Wink Robinson, one of the owners, as well as Larry Sassone, another owner for the Butler Blue Sox, earlier this year. And when they had the opening, and it was relatively quick to begin the season, they were about 3 weeks away. They both said they had one man in mind, and that was Cody Harreld. And Harreld has taken on that job. And I think it is important to have a local aspect to this team, just be in terms of attendance, in terms of bringing people out to support them. Butler loves supporting their local teams, just like they do supporting their local professional teams, the Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates. And I've seen it with the high school basketball team, the run that Butler made just this past year down at the Peterson Event Center. I was privileged to be able to have the call on the floor, and I was looking up into the stands, and the amount of people that were at the game were astounding. They had filled up the lower bowl between Butler and Pine Richland of Peterson Event Center. That's a large stadium to fill, and they were able to do that. And so I do expect tomorrow night that the city of Butler will come out and support these Butler Blue Sox. Tickets are still available. You can do it online at butlerbluesox.net. You could also call 724-256-9994 is the number there. Or, hey, if they still have them, you can go to the ticket window the day of the game and then just buy it there. So if they win tomorrow, that's it. The Blue Sox are Prospect League champions. However, if they do somehow fall, they would be moving the game to Sunday. Game 3 would be Sunday, and that's a 4:05 first pitch, and they are taking on Lafayette. Still open talk here. We've got about 5 more minutes left. We continue on the phone lines. Hello, caller. Welcome to It's Your Turn.
Hello?
Yes. Are you there?
Yes, I'm calling about, you were talking about the Greenwood 422 intersection.
Yes.
Okay, I just came through here about 30 seconds ago.
Okay.
Greenwood. I live 500 feet from that intersection. I lived here all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to solve the problem.
Okay.
You don't have to make Greenwood one way. No left turn off of 422 on the Greenwood to take a shortcut from 422 to 68.
Mm-hmm.
When I was sitting at the intersection, there was 8 cars pulled up to make a left turn on to Greenwood from 422. That's the biggest problem.
So you're talking about current?
Left turn off of 422 onto Greenwood.
Okay. Yeah.
That would solve 95% of the problem.
I would agree with that. And again, just like that caller said, the cars that come over the hill, they're coming in at such high velocity.
No, that's not the biggest problem. No.
Oh, okay.
Because I've been there all my life, and I live 500 feet from the intersection.
Trust your opinion on this, then.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, there's a guy that's seen it up close and personal. So I think there's a general agreement around Butler that something needs to be done with that intersection. So we've had a number of ideas thrown around. I think something will be done, maybe. I don't know. If enough people have an issue with it and if things keep happening, then I think something will be done and something probably should be done. Again, we're talking about Route 422 and Greenwood Drive, which would be closer to the Mount Chestnut area of Route 422. Tyler Friel filling in for Dave Malarkey. Still have open talk. If you'd like to sneak a phone call in here to close out the program, we could probably get a few more in. 724-283-2525 is the phone number there. There was a story about, CBS News had this for a little bit too, and then I looked a little bit more into it. A high school football player died after his coach had him do a Navy SEAL training. And what they did was there were, I believe, 5 other players with him, and this was a part of their preseason training, and they had to hold a log, an 8-foot log, over their head, and I believe walk with it, was the purpose of the drill, maybe run with it. I kind of just skimmed over the headlines and taking it from what I've seen from CBS News. Either way, this is such a stupid idea from that high school football coach. I do think there needs to be a line drawn. I understand there's a football mentality when it comes, you know, this aggressive try hard, that's probably the wrong word, but this want from high school football coaches to turn high school players into these ridiculous off-season, preseason drills to get them in shape for the regular season. Football is undergoing a identity crisis, I think would be the best way to put it. Maybe just a crisis in general. Because stories like this, stories like the ones about heat stroke, stories just about stupid management on high school coaches' part. This is so asinine and ridiculous. No high school football player should be going through Navy SEALs training to get ready for the season. I don't care if it's Central Catholic that you have to play that has 19 Division I players. It's not worth it. None of this makes any sense. I have an extraordinary issue with this, and I don't know what the ramifications will be for that college coach. I really don't, or for that high school coach. There are ramifications that need to be done. This guy should be fired because this type of stuff cannot go on a high school football field. And coaches need to do a reality check that this is not the NFL. This is not the military. These are high school kids. These are 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. These guys aren't ready and should not be doing these types of drills. And I think high school coaches sometimes need a reality check with what they do to these football players, because that, more than anything, there's such a mentality from high school football coaches to implement things this way, that the preseason needs to be tough. There should never, ever be any situation where a kid should have a heat stroke. There needs to be constant monitoring. And that's not some sort of, you know, powder puff type mentality. I think it's a reasonable mentality that a high school coach should not be having high school football players lift logs over their head in order to get ready for the season. I don't understand how that does anything for it. I don't understand how putting players through dangerous Navy SEAL training, which is what this is, it makes absolutely no sense to me. And I do have a major issue. That was the one final story that I had a problem with. So thanks for a very vibrant discussion on today's Open Talk. I really do appreciate it. We will continue on the conversation, this time with Amy Mack. She's the Director of Tourism Development for the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. That's coming up next right here on It's Your Turn on WISR 680 AM.
I was just 49 when I started getting mail from AARP. AARP? Shoot, I was just getting started in life. Then I hit my 60s and retirement was on my mind. The big question was, did I prepare? What about healthcare? Are my finances in order? Not just for my wife and me, but for the kids and grandkids. I got the answers I needed from attorney Michael Pater, specializing in elder law, long-term care, Medicaid, and wills and estate planning, is attorney Michael Pater in the Handicap Accessible Morgan Center. Phone 287-7724.
Butler Health System is more than a community hospital. It's a community of expertise trusted by our neighbors across the region. For renowned surgeon Dr. Tony Maloof, that means his neighbors are connected to a modern network of exceptional care.
While I'm part of a very close-knit group, I'm also a part of something bigger. Every day, I can see the difference this makes for my patients and for me.
But in its heart, Butler Health System retains the genuine caring of a community hospital, where patients are treated like friends and neighbors, because that's exactly who they are. And for orthopedic surgeon Thomas Mazzanegro, that caring is where it all begins.
We're committed to providing the absolute best care, and that means understanding what's important in the lives of our patients.
At BHS, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon, Route 8 south of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 south and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289.
Welcome back to It's Your Turn. I'm Tyler Friel, filling in for Dave Malarkey. It's great to have you aboard on this Friday edition. Just poked my head outside. We have got some sun on the way. So it actually has turned out to be a relatively nice Friday. And we continue our nice Friday by bringing in Amy Mack. She's the Director of Tourism Development for the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. Amy, happy Friday.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, this was kind of a quick turnaround in terms of scheduling for us, but we're glad that we were able to make it work out. So, Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, a lot of words. What exactly do you guys do?
Well, there's quite a bit under that title, but in a nutshell, we're a marketing agency for the various tourism-related activities, venues, and attractions in the Butler County area.
And there are quite a few, as I have come to learn by working here.
We have approximately 430 members and adding, so there's even more out there that we hope to bring into the fold of the Bureau. But we have so many great things to represent. It's really an endless list. So
in tourism, one thing that when I was doing a little bit of research and talking with my boss, who helps you out as well, the economic impact is actually fairly amazing on Butler County.
It is. It's, you know, certain events can bring in millions of dollars in just a weekend, but the ripple effects of what a visitor brings to our area or even our own residents getting out to the events, it really, it goes to the small business retailer, the restaurants, the gas stations, the grocery stores, and of course the hotels and the various attractions. So it really has a far reach for everybody economically. So
yeah, it's quite astounding. Just continue, even something as simple as, not simple, Jeep Fest. Right. You know, it's a small thing in terms of an idea, like, oh, Butler has the Jeep, let's do a Jeep Fest. The amount of people that have turned out for that and how big of an event it has become, again, amazing.
Right, right. It's an American story, so people really connect from all over for that. And, of course, Jeep enthusiasts come from everywhere. So it really brings from far reaches across the country and even internationally. So it's wonderful.
And it's funny with the Jeep Fest. When I was driving on vacation, I was just like, oh, see how many I can spot. They're everywhere. All those Jeeps are everywhere. It's quite astounding. So it's not surprising that many people come into Butler for something like that.
Absolutely.
But we've got a number of events on the way for Butler County. And they're all over the place in terms of what types of things you can do in Butler County. So let's start out with, this is coming up, I believe, relatively soon at the Butler County Airport.
That's correct. The Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport is hosting a bomber event called the 2017 Wings of Freedom Tour.
Okay.
So there'll be various vintage bomber planes coming in on display, some opportunities to ride in them. So it's next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So it's a really great opportunity. I think they had over 3,000 people come last year.
Oh, wow.
And it is a traveling exhibit, so it will move on to other locations after that. So we're really proud to have it over at the Butler Airport.
Is this the second year, or has this been around for a while?
I think it's been a few years. Okay. I don't know for several yet, but the crowd grows every year, so people want to see those vintage planes, and it's a wonderful location to show them off.
And how many planes will there be? Estimate.
Yeah, there's some... there are several, but there are, I'd say, three or four different bomber planes, so different varieties of them. So there's a lot to see, and the fact that you can take rides.
Oh, you can take rides in them?
Yeah, there are some opportunities to take rides. So.
Oh, wow. That could be kind of scary.
Great to see. Yeah, I'm sure they're all good. But it's a great way to see the Butler Airport and all the great things that are happening. They have happening there as well.
So. Yeah, I was there a few years ago. They had the Ford Tri-Motor airplane or something like that. It was actually the first time I ever flew was in a 1927 airplane. So it was like, this is a good way to start to learn how to fly. So if you've never flown before, maybe if you'd like to take a trip in a vintage bomber plane, you have that opportunity to do. Is there a price involved with that?
There is an admission price. I believe it's $15 a person to get in, but there's $5 children and 12 and under for children 12 and under. So, and then any World War II veterans have admitted.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, very neat.
Yeah, so it's a wonderful event.
And the Pittsburgh Butler Airport, Regional Airport, I want to call it a hidden gem.
It really is. Yeah, there's quite a few flights that leave and come in every day, and a lot of corporate jets, but it has a great amount of activity there.
Yeah, since Cervenny's restaurant has been out there, I will just kind of sit and watch the planes come in and out, and it's very unique, very something different that, again, in Penn Township, even though it's just right off of Route 8, you don't really think of as this is actual very cool facility to have in your own backyard.
Oh, absolutely.
So we've got the Wings of Freedom bomber event coming up here next week. But we also have, first of all, we've got the farm show going on right now.
That's correct. Yeah, up through Saturday.
That's, again, another large event. This is, the 69th year, I believe?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, that is correct.
That's crazy. Now, do you guys do much? Do you collaborate with them?
Oh, yeah. We sponsor it, and we have a table there also to provide more information on the area, things to do, and other festivals coming up. So by all means, we really support the event. It's wonderful for us.
In terms of exposure, were you guys out at the Big Butler Fair as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And when people come to see you, what would they see at your booth?
Well, a lot want additional information on the history of Butler, and our visitor's guide really has a nice overview of where we are and where we're from and the things we have to offer. Sometimes they're looking for what they can return back to the area to see. So the calendar of events is really a huge hit at those events. But then there are people looking for lodging information and what kind of special attractions that we have in the county that they can add to their experience while they're here, too.
Very neat. We've got the North Washington Rodeo coming up here.
Absolutely.
What's that, next week?
Yes. My goodness. Yeah, I know.
You must keep very busy.
We do. There's so many events. We're just so fortunate to have an area that's just rich with festivals and events all the time. So.
And one event that just got announced coming to Cranberry is the USHL.
Fall Classic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is it?
These are elite high school hockey players from all over the world. I'm sorry, all over the country. And they are here to compete and to showcase themselves. And so it's really an exciting event. And NHL scouts and college scouts all come in to see these young players. Again, they're an elite group of athletes, and several teams will be here.
Have you been inside the Lemieux complex?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have not yet.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Is it?
Beautiful. It's really first rate. And they offer a lot of things, including public skating. So, you know, it's not just a competition site. It's there for family entertainment. And there's a nice food court area in there as well. But they offer a diverse amount of events going on there.
Is it amazing to you, as maybe it is for me at least, the amount of expansion that continues to go on in that area of southern Butler County?
It does. It really does. And it all feeds to each other. So the restaurants and hotels that add to the facilities that are here all support each other. So it's really been a very big plus for us.
Now, one where you can go all around the county is the Farm Tour.
Yes.
And this is a very neat event. And this is coming up exactly when?
October 7th and 8th.
Okay.
Right. And this year we divide the county into quadrants so we can make people get to as many farms as possible. So this year is the Route 422 corridor and points north.
Okay.
So all of that will be contained in that area so that people can get around to more.
So what do you do on the farm tour? Let's just say an average person was like, I'd like to see a farm.
Right.
What do they do?
Well, it's a self-guided tour, so you can drive to as many or as all of them as if you'd like. But you learn a little bit about how our food is made, where it comes from. Certainly an appreciation for the hard work that the farmers do. And you get to learn and play, and often there's activities. And this year we have a couple farmer breakfasts available at a couple spots. So that's a nice addition, too. But it's really an appreciation for the farmers and where our food comes from.
You can't beat a farmer's breakfast. I can tell you that is going to be a hearty, well-earned breakfast.
Absolutely.
How many farms participate?
We have, we're still adding more. Right now we have 4 to 5 farms and then several, close to 10 farm-related stops.
Okay.
So they may be things like Zanella Milling that provides so much and produces so much from the farms of our county, too. So,
how big is farming in Butler County?
It is the second largest industry.
Wow.
So it's still, we have over 1,000 working farms in Butler County.
Wow.
Still.
That's...
So it is a very big story for us, and that's a big part of us.
Do you have like an average acreage for these farms, or is it all? I think, a hard number, but are they? Yeah. Let me put it this way: are they really big, or are these kind of mom and pop farms?
I think there's a good variety. I think there's some very large farms still, but then there are some that are smaller and more manageable. And so it's a wide variety.
And how long have you been doing the farm tour?
This is, I believe, our 6th year on the farm tour, but and we work in conjunction with the Farm Bureau too. So. But, yeah, we just want to continue to tell the story.
How did it get started, the farm tour, exactly?
You know what? I don't know exactly where and when it started. I know the Penn State Extension was part of it as well, and the Farm Bureau. And, again, we just want to make sure the story continues to be told because it's a big part of who we are.
Is there any admission for that?
No, it is free to the public. There's a few sites that may have certain activities that there's a charge for, but the whole tour is free to the public.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And then you said you drive yourself to all these stops. You can hit as many as you can.
Correct. And all of that is on our website, too, so you can kind of plan your trip. But it'll show all the activities and when they're happening. But it's 10 to 4 on both days.
Okay.
And just a wonderful event.
And you bring up your website. There's so much on your website. What is the official address for that?
It's visitbutlercounty.com.
Okay. And they can go and scan any type of event, really.
Correct.
It seems like it's up
Correct.
There.
There's a very robust calendar of events on there, so you can check out what's happening in an up-to-date format at all times. There's story-related things, and all our members are well represented on there with their own web pages and information that's up-to-date as well.
One thing, and by the way, listeners, if you're just joining us, we're here with Amy Mack. She's the Director of Tourism Development for the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. One thing that we're involved with at the station, in addition to the American Legion Riders and the American Legion Post, is bringing the Traveling Vietnam Wall to Butler.
Right.
And I was talking outside with someone and mentioned that there was going to be a Vietnam Wall coming to Butler, and I believe this gentleman was from the Pittsburgh area, and I said, yeah, it's the actual size. He's like, there's no way. This is an actual representation of the Vietnam Wall, isn't it?
Right. I think it's about 80% of its size, I think,
wow.
As I was told, and it really gives an opportunity for people who can't make that trip to the national parks to see something like that.
So when is it coming to Butler?
That will be
August...
August 24th through the 27th.
Okay.
And a very touching part of it is that the American Legion Riders will be escorting the wall in through Butler County on the 23rd.
Okay.
With over 1,000 motorcyclists escorting that wall. So it will be quite a sight to see that, to be honest.
Do you know where they're coming in from?
They will be coming in from the Cranberry area.
Okay.
And then traveling through the small towns to get to the Butler VA Hospital.
And it's the VA Hospital, the one on Route 356? Or is it going to the new one? Do we know?
You know what? That's. let me just double check that.
I'm getting info.
That we're close to that one opening.
So. The old one?
I believe it is the old one, yes.
Yeah, my producer, Pat Parker, is going, he's waving me down, going, it's the old one. Thank you, Pat. So that's where we'll be at. And this will be here for 3 days, you said?
That's correct.
Okay. And I know Dave will actually be out there on Thursday, the 24th. Doing a live remote broadcast. So we'll be out there. You can stop by and say hello. Obviously not while Dave's on the air, but you can at least wave to him and maybe he'll wave back. No, I think this is an extremely neat promotion. I even hate calling it a promotion. I think a tribute may be the right word.
Absolutely.
I've had the chance to see the Vietnam Wall once in my life, and you mentioned there are people who just don't have that ability. And we've been running these vignettes about soldiers from the Butler area who died in action in Vietnam. And it really does sober you when you go down and humble you to look at the wall and see all of the names that are on there. It really does put you in your place.
Right. Yep,
so that's all coming to the VA. Again, we're going through a litany of Butler events here. One that is coming up as well is the going to hit it here somewhere. Oh. Are we out of subjects now?
The Italian Festival is coming to Butler. Yes.
That was the big one that I wanted to hit because it's written in horrible scribbles in my notes. This is a brand new event, right, coming to downtown Butler?
It is, yes, from the same people that do the one in Bloomfield in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
So it is going to be Labor Day weekend, or September 1st through the 4th, a four-day event. So obviously a lot of great food and some wonderful entertainment. So we're really excited to, again, showcase Butler to the whole region.
Again, how did this one come about? Because I was talking with, again, more people around here, and someone said, yeah, there's an Italian fest. And I thought, man, is this the fall festival moved up early? This is an entirely different event.
A new one, yes, another festival. And, I think they see how well we do festivals and the kind of participation we get in attendance to festivals. And they were intrigued to bring something to Butler County. So we were excited that they gave us a look, and that's what we try to get, is more and more people bringing new and exciting things to our area.
I think one thing that people all around Butler can agree on is they love good food.
Yes,
and so when I saw this, I'm like, the streets of Main Street may be lined up fairly well because Italian food coming to Butler for 3 days, and you can sit down there all day long and examine all the different types of Italian food. You'd have a tough time pulling me away from downtown. So there's a ton of things going on. And you mentioned the website, again, is visitbutlercounty.com.
That's correct.
What else? We've gone over a number of different things here. Are you guys involved with smaller events as well?
Absolutely. We have all kinds of sizes of events and types. Of course, the diversity that comes into our area is pretty exciting for us, as well as different conventions. Next year, for instance, we'll have a Model T convention coming into Butler County, and they're here for almost 6 days, and there'll be over 300 Model T Fords taking different routes throughout throughout the county every day. So they're going to be a lot of photo opportunities, but very cool seeing all these vintage vehicles just coming through the county in various ways.
Now, if someone is having an event of substance and size, can they get in contact with
Absolutely.
The convention?
Okay. Yep, we are a resource for that for sure. We have several people on staff to help them as little or as much as they need. We can help them locate lodging and vendors and venues even for their events. So that is what we have a number of staff, including myself. That is our main purpose there, is to bring new events into Butler County, find the right kind of mix for what our people would like to see, and bring more visitors into the county.
Very cool. She's Amy Mack. She's the Director of Tourism Development for the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. We've gone over a whole list of things. Is there anything else that we may be missing?
Oh, always stay tuned on our website and our calendar of events, because there are things adding all the time. So, and again, we're able to help you with anything that you need or have questions on events. Please let us know. Reach out to us, and we'll be happy to help you.
Fantastic. Thanks, Amy, for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll be back with Bill Hillgrove. He's coming up next. He's the play-by-play man for the Steelers Radio Network. You can hear him tonight calling the action. 7 o'clock kickoff, 5 o'clock is the pregame. We'll talk with him next. It's your turn on WISR 680 AM.
If you're tired of being fed to death by the big banks, now is a great time to join the Butler Armco Employees Credit Union. With more free services like checking, online banking, mobile banking, and check deposits by phone, along with the best rates around on autos, home equity loans, and mortgages, you'll quickly see why over 26,000 members have chosen BAECU for their banking needs. It's never been easier to join, so stop in or join online at BAECU.com. You and your wallet will be happy you did. BAECU is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines is not one worth having. The sports medicine specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers will help you get back into action so you can keep up your lifestyle. Our experts understand that the same treatments for competitive athletes can be used for those who just want to be able to stay active. They accept major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more about how you can get back on the field by visiting TriRiversMSK.com.
Your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes is Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, a tradition downtown for 100 to 25 years. SAS Comfort Shoes are America's favorite comfort shoes, and yes, they are made in the U.S. And they also make sandals. They are just as comfortable as SAS Comfort Shoes, and they come in a variety of colors and styles. Check them out. Try them on. Sandals. From SAS Comfort Shoes at Miller's Shoes. Also your headquarters for athletic shoes for summer. They've got all your famous brands at Miller's. Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPet. They got them all there under one roof. Biggest selection in the area. And you'll always find some shoes on sale, too, on racks for easy browsing at Miller's Shoes. Looking for Easy Spirit, Trotters, Hush Puppies, Foam Treads, they've got them all. Miller's, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller's Shoes.
Welcome back. The Pittsburgh Steelers getting ready to open up the preseason against the New York Giants. And we bring in Bill Hillgrove. He's the play-by-play announcer for the Steelers Radio Network. You can hear him Friday night as the Steelers take on the Giants on WISR 680 AM. Bill, first of all, thanks for joining us. And this Steelers team, if I'm not wrong, looks pretty similar to what it looked like last year.
It is similar. Probably, in some respects, a little better, and I'll say that defensively. I think they found their third cornerback, which they didn't have in the playoffs last year, and I just think they're deeper in some positions, including running back, and I just think that you know, if they don't have any major injuries to key people, this team will be a contender.
And the team that they're chasing is the New England Patriots. And the Patriots, obviously, with Tom Brady at the helm, looked pretty good coming off of a Super Bowl last year. It seems like they're in the Super Bowl every year. And I know we're not X's and O's guys, but what do you think it takes to catch the New England Patriots?
Well, obviously, you have to contain Brady. You're going to play him in the regular season. You know, in a perfect world, James Harrison takes him out for the rest of the season, but that probably won't happen. So I think if you face him in the playoffs, you have to hit Brady and be physical, because if you're physical with Brady, especially early in the game, he can become a very average quarterback, and I think that's the key.
What are your thoughts on the preseason? I think players would argue it's too long. Mike Tomlin saying Wednesday that it is just about perfect. What's your thoughts on it? Too long, too short, just right?
Coaches love four games to get, you know, the bottom end of their roster fixed, so I understand that. For fans, I think three games is enough. And I think we've taken a step toward that this year, at least with the league. They're not making the last cuts until after the third game. And so I think what they're saying is that we're going to play, you know, the guys that are probably going to be going for work, or going to a job, a real job in 2 weeks, in those last couple of games, and save their veterans and the people that realistically have a chance to make the squad for the regular season. So I think that's a step toward three games, but that's just me.
Le'Veon Bell, a big talking point for the Steelers in the preseason. He's a holdout in camp. Do you see him returning in the next few weeks, or do you see this a little bit further down the line?
Well, I had to guess he'll be back after the second preseason game. And, you know, it'll give him time to get sharp enough to be ready for the regular season. And you know what? I don't blame Le'Veon. I mean, he's not going to learn anything by the first week of camp or probably even the second week of camp. I think he knows what he can do. As long as he's physically ready, you know, he can come back and be up to speed. But Mike Tomlin will disagree with that because, you know, he likes to have those players on the field, especially key players. But I understand the game that's being played. He's playing a game. The agent's playing a game. And certainly, you know, the Steelers and not offering him a long-term contract, they're pretty much saying to him and his agent, we can't depend on you, especially with your suspensions. And until you straighten that out, you're not going to get the pot of gold. That's my opinion.
And then you look at the wide receiving core. Another issue is in Martavis Bryant. I did not know this was going to be a problem. I thought he was back in camp. Obviously, that's not the case. When you look at this wide receiving core, how important is Martavis Bryant to that wide receiving core? And have you heard a timeline on when he could be back?
There is no timeline. The NFL is making him jump through flaming hoops. But with no Heath Miller around the scene, you know, Martavis is going to be a big red zone target. But I appreciate what the Steelers are doing. They don't admit he exists until he proves that he can put on shoulder pads and produce on the field. So, you know, it's a game that's being played. Let's let it play out.
And you mentioned Heath Miller, obviously retired a year ago. The Steelers brought in Laverius Green. That did not work out. What's James Jones' role in the offense now?
You know what? He's taken a step forward. He's catching it very well, and he's blocking better, and he looks bigger and stronger. But still, I think the Steelers are going to have to do tight end by committee because he doesn't have all of Heath Miller's many skills, but very few tight ends do. Matter of fact, Mike Ditka called Heath the best tight end in the league in terms of blocking and catching. But, you know, the game now is more catching than it is blocking. But the Steelers like to run the ball, so, you know, they want Jesse to block. And I've seen him take a step forward, but nothing wrong with Xavier Grimble or, you know, Stephen Johnson. Did I say Johnson? David Johnson. Stephen's a linebacker. you know, they'll do it by committee. That's my opinion.
Another unit offensively for the Steelers is their offensive line, and it continues to be, to me, one of the best offensive lines I've seen in the past 10 to 20 years that the Steelers have had, and they lock up another part of that with Alejandro Villanueva. Your thoughts on just how good this offensive line could be?
Well, let's start with Mike Munchak. You know, the year he came here, that was probably the Steelers' best acquisition. It was a coach instead of a player. He's molded them into a really effective unit. Not only are they talented and they have good pedigree, but also they're deep. And the fact that he's made Alejandro a starting left tackle in the National Football League, where the guy was actually a tight end when he was drafted by Philadelphia, is nothing short of amazing. They're going to be good. They're going to be interchangeable parts. They have, as Mike Tomlin says, position versatility. They'll have people who can play guard tackle, tackle center, you know, all across the line and left, right. So it's going to be fun to watch. But, you know, this is the best line Ben's been behind.
On the other side of the ball, defensively, again, a lot of the pieces remain the same. Lawrence Timmons not there this year, the inside linebacker, long Pittsburgh Steelers. Vince Williams, I believe, takes over that role. How does he incorporate himself there?
I just, you know, he has to prove to the coaching staff that he deserves to be a starter. And I think he's had time to do that. And, you know, he's been a really effective special teams player, but now he has to prove that he's ready to go every Sunday. And I think he's taken a step forward as well. He's lost weight. He's quicker. And, you know, I think Tomlin demands that of his linebackers. He's more about speed than he is strength, even inside. And I think the step forward of Tyler Matakevich has been very obvious at camp. And he's a thumper. And I think, you know, with Shazier and Matakevich and Vince, I think you have really top-quality NFL inside backers.
How do you see the secondary playing out?
Better. We got a third corner now. Artie Burns has taken a big step forward from last year. Now, remember, last year he was hurt early in camp, and when rookies get hurt, it sets them back almost exponentially. You know, if they're out 2 weeks, it's like they missed four. And so, you know, it took him a while to get his sea legs, and I can see it this year. He's taken a step forward. Now, he got dinged up in the Latrobe practice, a little hamstring tweak, but I think he'll be ready to go, if not in the first game, at least down the line. But now they have that third corner, which they didn't have when Brady picked him apart in the second half in New England.
I think this rookie class, Bill, is one of the more intriguing ones that have come along in quite some time for the Steelers. You've got guys like T.J. Watt, the first-round draft pick, obviously James Conner, the story that he is, and then Josh Dobbs, who will be getting the start Friday against the Giants, and then J.J. Smith-Schuster. These are big-name rookies coming in. What do you see their impact being in year one?
I think it's profound. First of all, Josh Dobbs has a chance to become the backup quarterback. And for a rookie to be able to say that, you know, in the NFL is almost heresy. But I think he does have a chance. Although Landry Jones has played very well. But, you know, I think if Ben is making noise, and it's pretty loud noise about maybe hanging it up after this year, you got to look to Dobbs as the future. J.J. Schuster-Smith, Hines Ward's in his ear every play. I mean, he's like his shadow at camp. And that, you know, can't hurt. J.J. has the physical prowess to be a devastating blocker, but what I like about him is, a la Hines, he runs precise routes. But unlike Hines, he's 6'3", and gives a much bigger target to Ben. I think he's going to be a tremendous addition. T.J. Watt has to get a little bit bigger and stronger, and he will. But he still brings a relentlessness to that position, pass rushing, that we haven't seen for a while, except for Debo, James Harrison.
When you look at this Steelers team, especially in the preseason, are there any storylines that really stick out for you?
Sure. I think on defense, I think you have a deeper, bigger defensive line than you've had in a while. I think it's time for Javon Hargrave to just say, okay, I'm the starter here at nose tackle, and I'm going to show you why they, you know, chose me high in the draft. If we can keep Tuitt and Hayward healthy, I think we're going to have a tremendous upfront presence and with good backups. And what I've seen in camp, not only, and we talked about Matakevich and Vince, and Anthony Ciccolo has taken a step forward. And Bud Dupree, I think, is ready to show you why he can be a double-digit sack guy. So I just have all the confidence in the world that this group is going to be a much better defense than what we saw last year, especially against New England.
You threw some names out there that maybe Steeler fans wouldn't be that familiar with. Is there another name that you could possibly see making some noise in the preseason to fight for a roster spot?
Well, you know, Twinch and Wolf get into this camp phenom, and they've always had their preferences, and very rarely have they worked out. But if you're asking me if there's a camp phenom this year, a guy who probably shouldn't make the roster but will, gosh, I have to go down the line. You know, how about cornerback Mike Hilton? I just think that this guy has shown some ability to cover. But, you know, it's so tough for free agents to make the 53-man roster. A little interesting, you know, change-up this year is, too. They're not going to cut anybody because of injury. They're not going to cut anybody until after the third preseason game. So after Pittsburgh plays Indy, you're going to go from the current number down to 75, and then within 4 or 5 days, you're down to 53. So, you know, there's going to be fire and brimstone for those people on the bubble, and it's going to be more dramatized this year because of that time frame.
He's Bill Hillgrove, play-by-play announcer. You can hear him on tonight's game as the Steelers take on the New York Giants. Bill, you've been around football for quite some time, and we see these stories about CTE, the brain disease, that a lot of these players are having. Do you see, I guess, what really do you think the effect of this will be, not only on this generation of football players, because we've seen a few retire early? You mentioned Ben Roethlisberger, you know, floating around retirement as well. What do you see the studies, all the news reports that come out, what's that effect on football?
We need a much improved helmet. And I think there's an answer out there. And I'm going to be very prejudicial here. by plugging my partner on the Pit broadcast, Bill Osborne. He's part of a startup company, VICIS, V-I-C-I-S, that has developed the most concussion-proof helmet known so far to the NFL. He's trying to sell it to the league, also to colleges and high schools. And as soon as Ben mentioned concussions as a reason that he might hang it up after this year, Ozzie called me and said, do you have Kevin Colbert's number? And I said, I'll text it to you. They were trying to put them all together to see if Ben can get a helmet that can get him through, you know, a concussion-proof season, that maybe he'll stick around a couple. And I just think that that's where we are. Technology is going to help save the sport, because otherwise, if we don't come up with better equipment, you know, I think a lot of kids and a lot of families are going to say, we're not playing football. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
And then I want to take it back to the division now. Of course, the Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, and Browns. Out of those four teams, or I guess I should say three teams, who is the best challenger to the Steelers for the AFC North?
I think it's Baltimore, even though they've had, you know, some injuries, and Dennis Pitta has retired, and that's a big weapon for Flacco. I really think that, you know, until the Bengals solve their clubhouse problem of characters, and we know who we're talking about here, until they either get rid of those characters and rein them in, they're always going to be on the side of dysfunctional. That's my opinion.
Is that on
Marvin is a heck of a coach, but I sometimes get the opinion that he's not totally in charge.
And that's what I was going to ask is, Marvin Lewis has been there for quite some time. You mentioned he's a heck of a coach, but obviously no playoff wins there, and the control issues. I just was wondering what his future is in Cincinnati.
To be determined. You know, and when I look at ownerships, not only around our division, but certainly in the league, I more and more appreciate the Rooney family. They get it. They get it right. They do it right. They do it with an idea towards stability. And I just don't see that in the rest of the division, let alone the rest of the league.
Final one for you, Bill. You mentioned coaching Mike Tomlin just getting a contract extension from the Rooneys and the Steelers. Thoughts on him just as an overall coach?
He's a great motivator. He's a bright guy. He, in short, gets it. And any coach who gets it is going to be a threat. And I think as long as Mike Tomlin's the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they will be a contender.
Well, Bill, thanks for your time. Enjoy the broadcast tonight. Is New York a good place to call a game?
They used to have us like in the second level, and it was wonderful. Now they put us up with the peanut vendor up in the top section. But that's okay. You know, binoculars help, and we'll get by, and that's okay. At least it's on the 50-yard line.
Well, that's good. Well, thanks, Bill. Enjoy the game tonight, and enjoy the Pittsburgh Steelers 2017-2018 season.
Thank you, Ty. Enjoyed it as well.
All right, that's Bill Hillgrove, play-by-play man for the Steelers Radio Network. You can hear him all season long on WISR. We'll be back right after this.
Your pet is loved. Your pet is a member of your family. So when your pet dies, your pet deserves respectful care. If you choose cremation, which so many have, consider the impeccable, sensitive, local service provided by Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller. Here's our pledge. Your pet will be cremated individually in our impeccable facility here in Butler. We assure you that the cremains are assuredly your pets and your pets alone. Before you make your decision, ask how other facilities perform. Individual cremation? It's an important and sensitive question. Bring your pet to us or we'll come to your home. When the time comes, tell your veterinarian that you prefer Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller. He's a pet parent, too. Call us, 724-287-3707, 287-3707, or www.butlerpetcremation.com. Butler Pet Cremation and Glenn Thompson Miller.
Hey, folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Gowan Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary, also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Gowan Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage Area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Gowan Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Welcome back to the program. We're heading out to the phones now to get in touch with Jason Mackey. He's the Pittsburgh Penguins beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, just writing a new feature piece on Pittsburgh Penguins goaltender Matt Murray. Jason, first of all, thanks for joining us. And Matt Murray living in Thunder Bay, Ontario. What's it like up there?
Beautiful, in a word. The trip was a lot of fun. It was earlier this week. And not only was Matt extremely hospitable and open, which is appreciated, but Thunder Bay is just gorgeous. I had never been up there. And right by Lake Superior, some of the natural landmarks that I wrote about in the piece, just absolutely take your breath away. It's one of the most beautiful spots that I've seen on this beat, and that includes, you know, places like Nova Scotia and Vancouver and whatever. But I mean, it was just drop dead gorgeous.
And you write in your piece how his hometown of Thunder Bay, Ontario, reflects his personality. How is that?
Well, it's a working class town. You know, one of the places where part of the interview took place was a place called Hillcrest Park, and it kind of gives a really nice overview of Thunder Bay. And from there, you can see these grain elevators. They almost look like factories. You know, that's what that place is. You know, it's not a high-end, fancy, we've got a lot of money kind of thing. You know, Murray's parents, they never struggled for money, but they weren't wealthy. You know, he wasn't brought up in some lavish lifestyle, and it keeps you humble. And I also think another thing that goes into Matt being humble and the Thunder Bay thing and whatever, he and about six friends have remained really close all since middle school and high school. And you know how you're around friends that, you know, they'll make fun of you a little bit, and they keep you humble. And that's what these guys do. They don't let his head get too big. And so it hasn't, but it's just the culture of Thunder Bay that it's so, I know I keep using the word humble, but that's kind of what it is. It's just, it's not a fancy place.
And you covered Matt Murray all season long, the highs and lows. What did you expect going into the interview, and how much more did you learn about him just from those few days?
You know what? It might sound silly of me to say that I didn't learn a lot. I mean, I did learn a lot about his habits and that sort of thing. But honestly, one of the reasons why I pursued the interview and pursued doing the story was I did think Matt was a really intelligent kid. And I told him that when we got up there. If being around the Penguins every day, I'm not going to name names on guys that, like, there's not a lot going on upstairs. But I will say that with Matt, he is so intelligent and very interesting and very willing to talk about things that he's interested in or whatever. He really, really, really enjoys non-hockey conversation, like more than anybody else in that room. So I sort of expected that going up there. I knew that away from the pressure of the Stanley Cup playoffs and all that stuff and away from a crowd of hundreds of media members, that Matt was probably going to be really relaxed and really interesting. And I'm glad that came about, and I thought he was, but he, you know, in the piece, he talks about how he loves Shakespeare in high school and his, like, odd way of dressing and his somewhat unique food tastes and all these things, but he also loved talking about that. I thought that was so interesting that he enjoyed the stuff that was kind of off the beaten path.
And you bring it up in the article, and we're here with Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He just wrote a feature piece on Penguins goaltender Matt Murray. And you write in the story about how he has tried to stay away from the limelight, didn't want to take it away from Marc-Andre Fleury. And that, to me, has made him more of an intriguing character to figure out, because he's been such an integral part of the past two Stanley Cup runs for the Penguins. But I would venture to say most Pittsburgh fans don't know much about him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's another reason why I was attracted to the story. I feel like nobody's really opened the book on Murray, and I hope that I did some of that. But part of that was by design, I found out with Matt. And I might have buried some good information here, you know, now that I'm kind of going through all of this again. But the way that kind of came about, Matt said something when talking about Fleury where he wishes they were even closer through the end. And I said, I actually called him a couple of days ago, like after the interview, and asked, you know, what did you mean by that? I didn't understand it. And so we went back and forth, and basically what he meant was that he really tried to peel back, you know, like he didn't want to bother Fleury. He didn't want to get in the way. He didn't want to, you know, make anything that he said too much of a story. You know, he just wanted to play hockey, and that was it. For the reason that I ended up writing that, you know, he's Marc-Andre Fleury. He should be celebrated, I think was the exact quote. And so it's a tough dynamic for Matt for, you know, sort of dutifully wanting to celebrate Marc-Andre Fleury, but also knowing that he wouldn't have had his success without Fleury being pushed out the door. And he has a ton of respect for Marc-Andre, the type of person he is. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure a lot of people in Pittsburgh probably are resentful of Matt Murray because they love Fleury. And that's not Matt's fault. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. So I give him a lot of credit for how he thinks about that and how much he thought about sort of taking over for Fleury and the sensitiveness of that and sensitivity of that. And I think it just speaks to how intelligent of a kid he really is.
And you took exactly what I was going to ask you next in terms of Pittsburgh fans being resentful. And it's a weird dynamic because here's a guy, again, he's won two Stanley Cups for the team, but he's taking the place of a fan favorite in Marc-Andre Fleury. Do you think he has the personality to bridge that gap with fans? Obviously, I think Penguin fans respect him for being the guy in net for those runs. But again, he's taking over the role of a fan friend, just a huge fan-friendly player. Does he have the personality to bridge that gap between the fans and himself?
I think he does. And in saying that, I'm not saying that I think he has Marc-Andre Fleury's personality, because he doesn't. And he's not even going to try. He's not going to be goofy and smiling all the time and cracking jokes. He's not. And I think he knows that if he did that, it would come off as not genuine and fake, and people would probably hate that even more so than they hate the fact that Fleury doesn't play for the team anymore. But where I think Fleury and Murray meet, and I think in one draft I called this like the Venn diagram of Penguins goalies, but I agree with that, that they have this unique characteristic in that they both care about people other than themselves. They care about their teammates. They care about media. They care about coaches and management. They care about random fans. They care about all kinds of things that are outside of their control that I think some people don't really care too much about. I think, you know, media, like these guys aren't under any obligation, in my opinion, to really deal with us. But Fleury does it so well, and Murray does it really, really well. And I think he has sort of the mind to learn from Fleury with that. But that's where I see them sort of meeting, and how I see Matt Murray carrying that torch for Marc-Andre Fleury is just being a good person and caring about people and having people know that you care. Matt just isn't going to do it by playing practical jokes.
And I understand with hockey, you know, you have a lot of young players in there. And my background, I'm the same age as Matt Murray. And so when you're watching those Stanley Cup runs, I'm at a bar drinking a beer, and here's a guy with millions of people watching him having to be the one to stop these shots. How does he handle pressure like that?
Yeah, well, very well, obviously, would be my automatic answer. But in all seriousness, he's got a really strong mental makeup. And I actually remember in reporting this story, I feel bad that I wasn't able to use more of it, but it's Rick Evoy is the guy's name in there, and it's Murray's youth coach. And I kind of said, you know, he's got this demeanor, kind of like what you just asked me. I said, where does this come from with that? And he honestly pointed to his mom and dad. And I know his dad's a lawyer. I forget offhand what his mom does, but he was raised the right way. He was raised to be strong mentally and think about these things. And so that's part of it. The secondary thing I would look at, and I wrote about this in the piece too, was in 2013, Penguins goaltending coach Mike Buckley went to, it was actually Sault Ste. Marie at the time, and the two of them had this sort of lunch where Buckley said, in essence, look, Matt, you need to get your head around the mental part of the game. Like, you're getting too out of control. And so Matt kind of went back and adopted some breathing techniques and started learning more about the power of the mind. And he's really into that. He's not quite at the stage where, like, he's practicing meditation or all into mindfulness. Like, he's kind of curious about it, but he does a lot of deep breathing exercises and thinks just a lot about resetting a mindset and only focusing on exactly what is in front of him. And I think there's something to be said for that. And I think when you look at, you know, how he is able to perform in the playoffs, a big part of that is how seriously he takes the mental side.
We're talking with Jason Mackey. He's the beat writer for the Pittsburgh Penguins for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The relationship between Mike Sullivan and Matt Murray, did Matt dive into that much?
Some. And to be honest with you, I should have asked him more about it, and I didn't. Because I do think there's a closeness there, and we hear so much from Sullivan about they like the personality of the team or the feel of the team when Matt's between the pipes, and I understand why. What Matt talked about I thought was really interesting, though, in that he basically feels like, you know, he owes something to Sullivan, that he has this loyalty to Sullivan to prove Sullivan right. And it's not just the Ottawa series when Sullivan made that huge decision. It was even, Matt brought this up, I wasn't thinking about it at all, in 2016, where Fleury came back and he stuck with Murray. So, you know, it's just kind of like the coach taps you on the shoulder and you don't want to make him look dumb. And that's what it is. But, you know, Murray likes Sullivan a lot. And I can also tell you this, just being in Pittsburgh, how players are treated, and I'm talking like how they're fed, how they travel, how they're treated on the road, how the GM interacts. These are all things that, you know, they were sort of off-the-record conversations, so I don't want to spill too much from Murray, but I can just tell you that he really, really, really loves playing in Pittsburgh. Not only Sullivan, but just the whole package that he gets here.
Does he have a vision for his future, what he wants his role to be in Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, I think he wants to be Fleury. He wants to be here, you know, for as long as he can. I'm sure if he could play in Pittsburgh and win a bunch of cups and retire here and never have to move, that's basically it. I think he'd be lying if he said he didn't want to be well-liked. I think any player is lying if they say they don't want to be well-liked. But, you know, he wants to be the franchise goaltender. He doesn't feel like he is that right now. And to a point, I see where he's coming from, but I also think, you know, he's won two cups. He's doing all right for himself. But, you know, his vision in Pittsburgh or his vision in the NHL is tied to staying healthy, to play in 60-plus games, to winning more cups, to winning playoff series, to getting involved in the community, to being a role model for kids, to being a part of this team's leadership group, to being one of the voices that everybody turns to when things are going bad. And I think, you know, Matt's done a lot of things for this team, but I don't think he's a real big vocal presence in that room. I don't think he's part of the leadership group. I think he will be, but he's only 23, and I think he wants to grow into that, and I think he will grow into that.
You bring up health, and again, you've followed this team rather closely. Do you think that's going to happen, that he can stay healthy for a full season?
I really do. And maybe I'm jaded by being spending some time up there. I'm not sure, but you know, watching the way this kid works and watching how much he cares, and watching how seriously he takes everything, there are always going to be weird things. You know, I wrote in a piece about the concussion and the wrist/thumb injury from the World Cup of Hockey. I mean, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the hamstrings and the groins, and you know, when you have a player who is very, very, very focused on keeping his body in check, and he does everything he's supposed to do training. Like, there's no reason that that stuff should happen with the regularity that it has happened so far with Matt Murray. He has put on some weight, as I wrote in there. He actually looks a little bit different. I pointed that out to him. Like, you do look a little thicker, and I think that'll be a good thing for him. But, no, I'm betting on somebody who really cares, who's putting in the work. I bet on that guy staying healthy and not suffering any more freak injuries. I really do.
What were you most impressed with out of the interview?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. A lot of stuff, but little things. For instance, the first interaction we had with him, we were meeting at that Hillcrest Park that we talked about, and we're waiting for him, and Haley Nelson was the photographer that came along, and Haley and I are in the park a little bit early. She wanted to, like, scout out some locations. And we're just walking around, you know, we're kind of like, we're two Americans just blown away by how beautiful this is. And I look at my phone, and I see a text from Murray saying, hey, you guys want any, you know, do you want any coffee or anything? Like, here's a 23-year-old kid that, like, has thought ahead that people are going to meet him. He's on his way, and he says, you know, he's going to, like, go out of his way to go get you food or take care of you or something like that. And just, I guess that goes into the bigger thing that I was impressed with, just the hospitality and how welcoming he was and how agreeable he was. It was really, really neat to see. And I think Matt had fun with it, too. I really do. I talked to him yesterday about the piece, and he said he loved it. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to do, having that much cooperation from a guy.
From the on-the-ice standpoint, how does his 2017-2018 season project along with the entire Penguins team?
Well, I honestly see Murray as somebody who's going to challenge to win 40 games. I really do. If he has the health thing figured out, the way the Penguins are built, I know that the questions with them right now are they going to get a third-line center, and is Matt Cullen going to come back? I don't know about Cullen. I don't have enough of a feel there, but I know a little bit about what Jim Rutherford's trying to do and what he will do and what he's going to be able to do, and I'm pretty confident they're going to have a capable third-line center. I also think there's a good chance Cullen comes back. But anyway, that's just to say that I really like the way this team's built. It's built to win now. They have young talent. They're really strong on the back end. I mean, obviously, any year with the Penguins, we're going to talk about injuries, but if they have a clean bill of health, there's no reason that Matt Murray shouldn't challenge to win 40 games, put up a good goals against average, throw up a handful of shutouts, maybe put himself in the Vezina conversation. But honestly, that's, you know, barring any kind of crazy injuries where they lose all of their stars or whatever, you know, that's where I see this year going very well and very good individually for Matt Murray.
He's Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, just writing a feature piece on Matt Murray, the Penguins Stanley Cup-winning goaltender. You can read it online at post-gazette.com or do it the old-fashioned way and pick up an actual paper. Jason, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Jason Mackey. We'll be back with more right after this.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 3131. The pick 3 is 882882. The pick 4, 2282. The pick 5, 38729. The wild ball for each of those is 6. The treasure hunt is 7, 9, 20, 29, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000. And for you Mega Millions players, tonight's estimated jackpot is $393 million. The jackpot for tomorrow's Powerball, $356 million.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Welcome back to It's Your Turn. Final segment. Tyler Friel with you on WISR 680 AM. Much thanks to Jason Mackey. I thought it was just, if you do have a chance to read the article in full, I do recommend it. Matt Murray, to me, has always been an interesting character, even if you're not a sports fan. Dave has a lot of authors on to talk about biographies. I always think it's interesting to peel back the layers of these individuals who we look at from afar and see who they are as people. And Jason Mackey did a tremendous job of that in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Bill Hillgrove, a legend right there, and gave us his thoughts on what is going to happen in this Steelers season, what's going to happen in the preseason. My hopes are high. I think they're a Super Bowl contender if they can get past the New England Patriots. And then much thanks to Amy Pack as well. She was the director, and still is. It's not like that title changed over the course of the last hour. She's the director of tourism development for the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau. Again, if you're trying to figure out what's going on in Butler County, you can do it online at visitbutlercounty.com. Well, that just about does it for me. We've got a few minutes left. I did want to throw this out there. There's a website called 538.com. I really like it. They are a branch of ESPN. They do a lot of data journalism. But every day they put out these things called significant digits. So since they focus a lot on data, they always throw these numbers out there and just some entertaining stories behind them. Well, this was one that caught my eye. $250 million. Okay. What has that been spent on in the past 2 years? They use it, quote-unquote, alternative protein.
and you're wondering what an alternative protein is, these are $250 million in alternative protein startup companies in the past 2 years. These are people trying to replicate the taste in protein and nutrition of beef and trying to find it in plants. I think this would be the most impossible mission of anybody alive. It is a Friday. The toughest times for me as a good old Catholic boy are the Fridays in Lent when I cannot eat meat on Friday. I eat meat every day, and I know it's probably not that good for me, but I love a burger. I love a steak. There is no way you could take that away from me because the taste is great. I don't think there will ever be a solution to this. $250 million, well thought out, but I don't think it's going anywhere. And the other one was 60. 60 what? 60 pillows. It takes, on average, if you're a professional pillow tester, which is a dream job of mine, but if that's one of your jobs, they say it takes about 60 pillows on average to find the one that works for you.